Hear now the word of the Lord from Mark 1, 9 through 20. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once, the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I want to begin looking at our passage by looking at the setting. What's going on in this passage? A lot of times, whenever you look at the setting of a passage, you have to look at a number of different things. Its form, its structure. Sometimes the structure of a passage can tell you a lot about it, and this is going to happen sometimes in Mark, because Mark is really big on structure. For example, he sometimes will tell two or three stories that all kind of look and feel the same to make a single point. And then one of the things Mark does, and you're going to love this one, scholars call this a Markan sandwich, because what Mark does is that he'll begin a story and he'll end the story, but in between the beginning and the end, he'll put another story. And most of the time, they are all connected to each other. He'll open an idea, tell you something else, and then come back and close the idea or close the story. And sometimes that tells us when we read that passage, oh, I see what he's trying to tell us. So we're going to run into that. For this passage, for this story, you may have noticed if you've read the other Gospels that Mark really rushes this story along. He mentions Jesus out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights as kind of just, this happened by the way, and then just goes on to the next thing. This is because Mark, unlike the other gospel writers, has a sense of urgency about his story. It's his way of telling us, through even his form, his structure, and the setting of the passage, that there is going to be a lot going on, but there are some things that you need to know for your own life and your walk with God. The beginnings of Mark set up the interplay between God and the people of God. And so how does Mark 1 and 2, how does this story in particular fit into the introduction? Well, it's by opening us up, you, us, as the readers, to actually join the story. You're being invited, even as we read this story, to follow Jesus. This is not an invitation to hear a story about someone else. This is Mark's way of saying at the beginning of the story, you, like John and James and all these other people, are being invited to follow. So, the few things that are going on here in the beginnings of the story are beginnings. Mark wants us to know that this is only the beginning of the story as all of these callings are going on. There are a number of instances in the first two chapters of people praying and then proclaiming the good news. And then eventually in this introduction, we're going to get to some pretty definite actions that all have to do with healing and the actions of forgiveness. But let's talk specifically about this passage, the specifics of Mark 1, 9 through 20. You probably noticed this as we were going on. Mark emphasizes in Mark 1, verse 9, that this is taking place in Galilee. And this is for a reason. Mark wants us to know that Jesus did not come and start his ministry and announce all of this good news in the middle of Jerusalem, where there were thousands of people gathered. Instead, what Jesus is doing in Galilee is that he is starting this story in a rather small, off-the-beaten-path place. This is small beginnings that are going to get big. In verses 10 and 11, we encounter Jesus at his baptism, and one of the things that really stands out is this Spirit of God descending on Jesus and speaking of love. This is my Son whom I love. I am pleased. So immediately, from the very beginnings of the story, what we encounter is the Spirit of the living God, and that the first thing that we hear from God are words of love. In verse 15, Jesus begins speaking, and it's really the first big thing that we hear Jesus say. And the first thing that we hear Jesus say in the Gospel of Mark is, "The time has come." That is true every single time we read the Gospel of Mark together. When Jesus said it first, the time has come. When people read this story hundreds of years later and they heard Jesus say that, for them, the time had come. And for now, 2024, when we read this story, this is us receiving the story, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear us, to hear Jesus in the middle of our circumstances say, "The time has come." Time has come to do what? Repent. Believe. And there is good news. And then verse 17, Jesus says, "Come follow." This is about people. When Jesus invites people to follow, he is inviting people to come participate in this good news. This has not changed. As we, the people of God, encounter this story again for the first time this year, this is about people. And you, as the listener, as the reader of Mark, are invited to come follow Jesus. This is about the love of God. This is about the Spirit of God. This is about turning to God. And this is about following God. But what about our everyday lives? You see, this is the story as it's been presented to us so far. But what about, how are we supposed to actually live this? Like, I hear the word repent, and I'm thinking, okay, but what is that supposed to look like in everyday life? Well, again, from the passage, for I, and really for us, / we, how are we supposed to live this? There's all kinds of things going on, but there's two things from God and two things for us to do. Number one, God loves you, God loves us, and offers the Spirit. And I, and we, are to repent and follow. This is about accepting an invitation and turning to God. But specifically, how can I practice repent other than a word that I hear at church on Sunday mornings? Well, if you're looking for application, here's one way to think about repenting. Noted psychologist Cliff Davis has written and worked with people, especially at the beginning of transitions in their lives, and what better place than New Year to think about these kinds of things. He puts before his people three questions whenever they're in the midst of transition that will get us started for the Gospel of Mark. When you're faced with a transition, think in terms of these three questions. Number one, what do I need to stop doing? Like, are there things at the beginning of the year that I look at in my own personal life and say, what do I need to stop doing? You know, maybe I need to stop, driving so fast. Maybe I need to stop, whatever. But something. What do I need to stop doing? Number two, what do I need to start doing? As we begin this new year, as we begin this new season, what do I need to start doing in my own life? And then number three, what do I need to continue doing? What's been going well that need to continue doing as we go into this new year? And I was thinking about this, thinking about what Cliff talks about. I was thinking, is there a way for us to do this collectively? Like for us as a church body, together, collectively, can we look at this and say, what do we need to stop doing, or what do we need to start doing, and what do we need to continue doing? So I'm just putting that out there as we open this year. It's going to take us a while to get Mark off the ground, but as we encounter the Spirit of the living God and our lives, to consider that. I want to note, not just for today, but as we go through this year, if in any way we as a church body can help you be and practice turning to Jesus, we want to know. This is not just come to church on Sunday morning and that's it. We want to know if we as a church body together as the body of Christ can help you in any way, if we can help each other by turning to Jesus, we want to know. In the days to come, today, whenever that might be, and to keep in mind as we go through this year that we as a ministering community are here for you and we're here for one another. That this is a commitment that we want to make to one another in 2024. That we as a ministering community are here for you and we are here for one another. And if you don't hear anything else today from the Gospel of Mark or from our time in worship, hear this. You are loved by God. Wherever you happen to be right now in your life, you are loved by God. If you're going through major transitions in your life, you are loved by God. If everything is going great and you just couldn't be happier with the way things are going, you are loved by God. If you're worried about the present, you're worried about the future, you are loved by God. And you today, on this day, are surrounded by a group of people who love you and support you, and together, as a body of Christ, we are loved by God. And that's reason to give thanks.